In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to another episode of Common Prayer. This is Kevin. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday, November 4th, which is crazy to wrap your head around the fact that it is already November, turning the corner towards the holidays, towards the end of the year and all that entails. I love the fall, love this season, and I hope that you are enjoying it as well. We're actually recording this a couple days earlier, so I'm recording this on Monday evening, and I know that obviously this means that it is a day past the election, and so I'm not sure what that all holds, but I know that, man, what a tenuous time that we are all experiencing nowadays. And so I thought, gosh, this time of silence that we're going to partake in to start this episode probably seems fitting to just be able to still our minds and our hearts before God. And I think the text today in Psalm 8, this beautiful text that focuses and recenters us on the grandeur and beauty of God, as well as then enlists us and inspires us to action in the ways that we carry on our life. I think it'll be fitting. I think it'll be fitting for this particular week at post-election reflection and whatnot. So anyway, let's do that. Let's begin with our time of silence together, where we, again, just still our minds and our hearts before the Lord, recognizing his presence, recognizing that he is here with us. It's a chance to just exhale and inhale God's presence with us. So let's go ahead and do that for the next minute. As mentioned just a minute ago, our text this morning is Psalm 8. It says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of your children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." You know, I think in some ways this hymn is a perfect example of what a song of praise should be. I mean, it demonstrates this sort of proper celebration of God's glory and grace. It centers his majesty. I mean, it's this kind of just epic, towering poem that is detailing so much of the beauty of God. It's really, in some ways, it's broken into two sections. I mean, kind of loosely, but the first section, verses 1-4, really center on that majesty, that beauty of God's creation. And then 5-9 kind of zooms in a little tighter on humanity. It kind of zooms in on our role and how in the world is God even mindful of us, given all that he has created. But one of the things I love about this is, you know, it really brings us back to this idea of beauty. And I think sometimes we miss this, but one of the things that's characteristic of beauty, particularly of any work of art, is that it's supposed to, in some ways, draw our attention to its designer. I mean, everything around us is everything that we can experience and appreciate through our senses is a gift that God has given to us. I mean, this includes the food we eat, the art we view, the architecture, the literature, technology, medicine. I mean, so much more. I mean, these things were given to us as common grace by God through the creativity of His image bearers. So this enjoyment, it's meant for us. It's meant for us to experience that beauty, that grandeur. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Again, the psalmist gets this. And it's meant to draw our affections back towards God. I think often we allow ourselves a flat view of beauty, a flat view of what God is doing through creation. But He wants us to have this rich, robust understanding in which the beauty that we see around us, the sounds of a well-balanced symphony, or the flavors of a meal that just transcends the moment, or the conversation and laughter of a friend. I mean, all of those sorts of things, the grandeur of Yosemite and the mountains and all of it is meant to draw our affection back towards God. That is what it is doing for us. I remember years ago reading a book by an author, Donald Miller. It was a book called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, and he writes this quote, and it's always stuck with me. He says, "If I have a hope, it's that God sat over the dark nothing and wrote you and me specifically into the story and put us in with the sunset and the rainstorm as though to say, enjoy your place in my story. The beauty of it means you matter and you can create within it even as I have created you." Man, I love that quote. I love that line. He says, "The beauty of it means you matter." Have you ever thought about that? God didn't have to make creation beautiful, but He did. He chose to. And this really kind of leads us towards the second half of this psalm where, you know, the psalmist transitions from, you know, examining the beauty and thinking about what is mankind, you're mindful of us. But then he goes on, he says, "You've made us a little lower than the angels. You crown them with glory and honor." But then get this in verse 6, "You've made them rulers over the works of your hands. You've put everything under their feet." You see, this sort of beautiful creation has also been gifted to us to steward, to work over, to live, and to cultivate and bring it to its flourishing. So in some ways, the beauty of creation draws our affections to God first and foremost. And then out of that, we respond by ruling as if God were us. We rule in that same manner in which God rules, with that image in mind. Bringing about its flourishing, bringing our own creativity to the story. Because again, as Miller says, the beauty of it means we matter. The creation around us is meant to be enjoyed, but then also perpetuated. And we are to perpetuate that beauty. So what I want to do for our prayer time today is I want us to just spend a moment on each of those sections of the psalm, and I'm going to read them again. And on that first half, those first four verses, I want you just to reflect on the beauty of God. Where have you seen the beauty of God around you? Maybe you're on a walk now and you're looking out over whatever view you have and you're seeing that beauty. Maybe it was a trip you took recently, whatever it is. But I want you to reflect on that beauty. And then the second half of our prayer time, we're going to talk about perpetuating that beauty. How are we bringing about more of that in the world? So to start, why don't you again settle into your chair? Take a few deep breaths. Allow yourself to come back to the moment. Hear these words of the psalmist, and as I read them, I want you to think through the beauty of God around you. Where have you seen the beauty of God arrive? "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Take just a moment and sit in that reflection on the beauty of what God has created around us. Psalmist goes on and says, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and have crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you've put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." I want you to spend our closing moments here thinking that on that idea that he has made us rulers, that we are to perpetuate beauty, to take the created order and bring about more flourishing and more beauty. Where are you doing that? Where are you bringing order to from chaos? Justice from injustice. Beauty from that which is ugly and broken. What is God calling you to do? Let me close with our prayer for the day. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day, and defend us by your mighty power that we might not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that, guided by your Spirit, we may do what is righteous in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.